I'm Iron Mile Mason, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell.
Boom, did it. All right, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Blair Morrison. We're sitting here in a coffee shop in Denver with Michelle Kinney. She's a four-times CrossFit Games competitor. She's the owner of CrossFit Park Hill and is a self-proclaimed beefcake.
That's right.
Did I miss anything?
That's perfect.
Well, thanks for being here, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we got on the air, we were talking a little bit about kind of your journey out here to Colorado. I didn't actually realize that you were – actually, I knew that you were from Memphis because I remember your old gym.
Yeah.
But – I kind of just assumed you were from Colorado because you're such an outdoorsy person, and I kind of just forgot that part of your past.
Yeah, for sure.
In case some of the listeners are forgetful like me, maybe you can kind of give us a little rundown on how you came to be out here, what the decision was, how long it's been, all that.
All right. Yeah, I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. I went down to college in Starkville, Mississippi. But other than that, pretty much just in the South, and had traveled out to Colorado for the softball tournament that we were discussing.
That's why you came out here the first time?
Yeah, that's the first time I came out here.
So we were talking about there's no hotel rooms in Denver right now because of this softball tournament that everybody competes in, apparently.
Stupid softball. Yeah, not everybody, only the good ones.
Okay, good separator.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I started dating Emily long distance. She lived in Denver, and I lived in Memphis. And it was going to be a pretty tough battle to get her to move to Memphis when Colorado is so beautiful and amazing and so many cool things to do. And it really technically better fit my lifestyle, wanting to be outside playing. I just love doing all kinds of sports and activities. So I traveled to Colorado to come do those things, and so it made sense when we started dating that I could probably potentially move out here. And then
how long ago was that?
That was October 2014. So
when you guys started dating?
That was about a year after we started dating.
About a year after, okay.
Yeah, so we did distance for a while, and that was had its challenges. So anyway, I heard about there was an opportunity to buy a CrossFit gym out in Denver, and I knew that that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do for the indefinite future is run a gym. I can't see myself doing anything else, so that was my largest concern moving out here, was having to change what I did for a living, because I didn't want to open a gym from scratch again, especially not knowing the market, not having any clue about Denver and where's good, where's bad, real estate and all that. So there's an existing gym that was up for sale, which was crazy because it was Emily's gym. So I was like, that's pretty much a sign that it's time to go.
Is there any chance that she made the gym go up for sale?
She's a pretty powerful person, but the former owner was ready to up and move to Fiji, so I don't think she had anything to do with it. But I do know that there were some other potential buyers that she – kind of influenced to not buy so I could get it.
I'm thinking that she made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. That thing woke up with a horse head in his bed or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I'm going to Fiji. Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. I got to get out of here.
All right. Well, that was great. I mean, that's great circumstances, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely good timing, and you were able to move out here and take over CrossFit Park Hill.
Yeah.
Which we just went and worked out at before coming to the coffee shop. Tell me what it was like to go, well, to like take over an existing community. So you obviously have your ideology, your philosophy on what fitness is and like how you live your life. And you're one of the easiest going, coolest girls I know.
Oh, thank you.
Talk about trying to like bring that to a community that already is kind of like, you know, built. It's already built from the ground up. Like, what was that like?
That made me so nervous because I just know, well, one, I thought my previous gym, the community was great, and I thought it couldn't get any better than that. You know, it was a gym that I built from the ground up, and we had great people that supported me through my journey with CrossFit Games, and, it was just like you hang out and have beers with, you know, on the weekends. It was just like a really cool community. So I didn't think that that could be matched. And so when I moved to Denver, and I'd been around this gym occasionally when I would come to visit him, and I got to meet some people but and see that it was a pretty cool, close-knit community, but I had no clue how awesome it was until I was actually in the middle of it. And so I was most nervous about how I'd be accepted, because I'm this outsider coming into this really tight-knit community, and I'm now the boss, I'm now in control, I'm now changing things that, you know, they're not used to. My programming's different. The way I run classes is different.
Little did you know, Emily had already personally threatened every member of the gym to accept you and love you before you got here.
Yeah, yeah, you must. But it was really neat because the former owner kind of had a meet and greet arranged. So it was he and I up in front of whoever wanted to come from the gym to ask me questions. And he gave me a great introduction and spoke really highly of me. And I got an opportunity to like field any questions that members had. And their main concern that I kind of took from that was they were not wanting me to like open up a competitor's gym. And I know better as an affiliate owner that your competitors aren't your community. It's fun. It's something I love to do, but it's not something that necessarily fires me up, you know? So it's more just your average people getting fit and having fun doing it is what I love. And that's what I walked into, and they've embraced me as part of their community. And it's really been a really awesome, awesome ride. So.
All right, so this is I'm imagining like this town hall meeting.
It totally was town hall
with
style,
with like fold out chairs.
It
you
was.
Know, people
you're,
like
you're on it, dead on.
That's so great.
Yeah,
but that's a really transparent way to make the transition, right?
Exactly. It worked out really well.
Did you try to rebrand everything, like change the logo and the color and all that?
Yeah, I did. So I didn't want to just come in. Ripping shit apart and just changing everything from the ground up, but I like slowly ripped off the Band-Aid. There's things that absolutely needed to change that I changed from day one, and then just the systems and kind of the back end stuff was more what I had to change from day one. The logo was more associated with the first location. So when we moved locations, we went from a 1,250 square foot tiny facility, to 2,400 square feet, which is still pretty modest for a gym, but it's double what we're used to. So that was a good opportunity to also change the logo, because the previous logo had basically a light pole that was in front of the old gym. So it kind of didn't make sense. And I remember when I first saw that logo, I was like, I don't even know what that is. It looks like a bent barbell. But then I realized, oh, it's the light post outside. So, so changed the logo, kind of like assigned like gym colors more or less, and just different ways. So yeah, we rebranded, but the core group still is intact and all that good stuff.
How long after you moved out here and took over the gym and had your town hall meeting did you move locations?
Oh, it took, shoot. So I officially took over the gym November 1st, and we moved into the new location March 1st. So 4 months, 5 months.
Okay, so
it was
it's like immediate almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was, there was issues with the former landlord that really expedited that process. I was in the market looking for a bigger space, but when like stuff started getting bad with that situation, I like had to remove myself from it as quickly as possible.
And have you seen like a growth in the membership?
Yeah, we have. One, we can easily run classes of like 14 to 16 in that space when that was nearly impossible. Membership grew. Actually, at first we took a dip because we moved out of the neighborhood. And
right.
So we lost about 10 members, which I thought was pretty solid because we had 140 at the time. We lost 10. I was like, I can live with it. It wasn't the mass exodus that I feared. The other gyms, we're less than 2 miles away from the previous location, so it wasn't like a real big hindrance. It was just people were used to walking to the gym from their house. I lost my train of thought.
No, he said when you started growing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So since we've kind of settled into our new location, we have frontage on Colfax, which you got to drive the length of in Denver this morning.
Yeah, it's a long straight street right through the middle of downtown Denver.
Yeah. So we have really good exposure to Colfax, which can be good, can be bad, but it's exposure. So, we've seen some growth with that, which is really nice. And it's nice to be able to house that growth with more space.
All right, so that all happened really quickly. You're changing, you're uprooting, moving out here for business opportunity, moving up here for your, you know, for your relationship with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Within 4 months, you've changed locations. You're starting to rebrand. Like, things are moving fast. At what point did you feel kind of like settled in? Like, all right, I'm here. This is what I want it to look like.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of going the right direction. I'm comfortable. Has that happened yet?
Yeah, it's definitely, it took a bit. It took a while to happen and for me to really feel settled. And you asked me how long I've been in Denver, and I'm like, well, I'm in my second year. So I'm like, oh, I've been through a winter here. I've been through a spring here. I'm in my second summer. So it's like, I know all these different, like, oh, I like to go mountain biking in the summer and trail running in the summer. These are the things I like to do during the season. So now I feel settled. When my first year in Denver, I was just like all over the place. I was like, what do I do? How do I operate? And that's kind of how it has been with the gym. The first year, it was just like learning what all was going to happen. So this was my first time sole owner of the gym. This was the first time with the new community and how they respond to different things, and then forcing all these changes and how they react to that. But it took about until, I would say, last fall, you know, till I settled in and really felt comfortable with everything from the way the changes happened and how things are running and, all that.
Cool. Just to, like, turn things back a little bit, most times when we talk to athletes and, you know, games-level athletes, they talk about the toll training takes on the people around them, right?
Oh, gosh.
So, like,
yeah.
Family members have to sacrifice a lot and have to support a lot. And
yeah,
a lot of times, you know, athletes feel guilty because of that. And, you know, they try to manage the situation as best they can with their family and their friends.
Yeah.
In your case, it seems like you are the one who has sacrificed a lot, at least lifestyle-wise, moving out here.
Yeah.
You know, going through this change, even though you wanted to do it,
yeah,
you know, like you said, Colorado fits your lifestyle,
right,
probably better than Memphis.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Like, how has, you know, this move affected your relationship? How has it improved it?
Mm-hmm.
Because usually it feels like things usually go the other way.
Yeah.
You know, like, the athlete is stuck training, doing their thing, rigid, and everybody else kind of adapts around them.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, you know, it hasn't been that way.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So throughout my time in Memphis, that's exactly how it was. I was the athlete, and my support structure, my girlfriend, my family adjusted to it and helped me out. My coaching staff, my business partner, they all contributed to help cover classes or run the business while I was training a lot. So since I've moved out here, I really haven't, it's not been the same. Like, I, like, when it was actually a blessing in disguise, I think, tearing my shoulder and hip labrums, if you can even think of it that way. But there's no way I could have competed last year with all those changes taking place. You know, we moved into a new location March 1st. It was dusty. It was an old 7-Eleven. Like, it was just like, oh, okay, now it's the CrossFit Open. And I fortunately couldn't compete. And so I spent basically that whole year trying to get the business up and running and all those changes taking place. So the athlete side just took a back seat. I got an opportunity to experience all the awesome things that Colorado has to offer, which was a godsend because I needed to still be active. I just was super restricted. So this past season was my first season in Colorado trying to make an effort to get to the CrossFit Games and competing, but I still battled with that. My coaching staff did a real good job of helping me out, but ultimately I'm the decision maker. Back in Memphis, I was told, no, you're not coaching this week. You need to train. You need to rest. I still have this, like, desire to be at the gym and see the people, and I know I'm training there a lot, but I would still try to coach. I still try to do a little too much.
Yeah, you're addicted.
Yeah, I'm addicted.
You're addicted.
So it's like I always want to be there, and I, like, feel like a bad owner, a bad coach if I'm not. So honestly, I still haven't really felt the I'm the one that's still constantly adapting to things and not in the surrounding things are waiting on me to like tell them what to do, but I'm just trying to find my way with that. As far as the relationship, it's a lot better than the distance. It's nice to not have, it's nicer on the bank account not to have to fly to and from, that's for sure. But yeah, it's been, I don't know, a lot of moving parts and I'm still trying to figure things out right now.
Well, what has been the best part of moving to this city, this part of the country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would automatically say like the mountains are amazing. I'm sure you're taking advantage of that, but other than the convenience of, you know, being, you know, living in the same place as your girlfriend and having this new business, like this actual part of the country, like what do you love about it the most?
I mean, you're absolutely right. It's the mountains. People ask me what my favorite part of Denver is. I was like, how close it is to the mountains. So, which kind of doesn't really say much to Denver. Denver's a really cool town. I love living here. I love going to Rockies games and the restaurant scene. You've got a lot of healthy options, more so than down home back south, you know. So it's really cool place to live. And it's nice because if I just want to go to the mountains and hike, it's a day trip or an afternoon trip. So that's exactly what I did Sunday, was took my parents, you know, to Golden, which is a 30-minute drive, and hiked up a mountain.
At Golden, so you went to the brewery.
No.
Did the brewery tour at Coors.
Yeah, I should have.
You got to do that.
I know. It's like living in Memphis, not going to Graceland. It's like...
Not even barbecuing. But you told me you went golfing with your dad yesterday. And you know, you're a very athletic... sportsy girl, right? I mean, you played in the softball tournament when you were in high school.
Yeah.
You went to Mississippi State for long distance running.
Yeah.
And you still play sports, right?
Yeah. I love playing sports.
You love playing sports. Like, we were in the Bahamas for the Reebok Summit, and you were out there playing football with all the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you.
Yeah, that's me, for sure.
I feel like you don't see that a lot in CrossFit.
Honestly, it seems like you don't. Like, especially a lot of the female competitors have a gymnastics background. So, like the ball sports just are 100% foreign to them.
Just so foreign.
Just like handstand walking is foreign to me, or, you know, all the stuff that they do extremely well. But I grew up playing sports my whole life. I tried every single one of them. I played volleyball. My short ass played volleyball, soccer, cross country, basketball. Softball was my favorite. In college, I ran track, learned how to throw the javelin, all conference javelin team. Like, I don't know. I adapt really well to sports, except for swimming.
Not a swimmer.
Not a swimmer. CJ, my coach, always jokes that I'm a land mammal. That's all there is to it. I can move across land like no other, but swimming is a different story. I can make it from point A to point B, but it's not pretty and it's definitely not fast.
You said that you, of all those sports, what one do you think you're best at?
Oh, that's a great question. So I grew up playing softball, so I thought I was super good at it. I don't know, but I got to college and I was just like, I started some games. I wasn't a star by any means, but I wasn't a star on the track team either. So CrossFit was like what the sport I was best at. Like, just a little bit of, you're good at a little bit of everything. And that was more like my style. But, so I don't know.
What was the highest you finished at the CrossFit Games?
Eighth in 2013. Yeah.
But you were a national champion long distance runner in high school.
State champion. Yeah. Nationals to stretch.
So State of Tennessee.
State cross country.
What was the distance?
3 miles.
3 miles. What was your time?
18 minutes and 48 seconds.
So that's almost a 5K.
Yeah.
18:43. Do you think you could do that now?
No way.
No chance?
Nope. I mean, my fastest CrossFit 5K is 20 minutes and 20 seconds.
That's still really fast.
Yeah. So, but I've run a half marathon in like an hour, I think hour 43 or something like that. I don't know.
That's good.
I can just run. Not super fast, though. I mean, I wasn't fast for, like, normal people, but when I got into college, I just got my ass kicked, and it wasn't fun. Girls were running 15-minute 5Ks. I was like, that's ridiculous. And I was a bigger girl. I was one of the bigger distance runners out there, which is hard to believe.
I got to think you were smaller then than you are now.
Yeah, I was probably 15 pounds lighter
right. And
still trying to lose weight because I was still big.
But you don't see a lot, like you said, you don't see a lot of CrossFit athletes coming from that type of background. Softball, cross country, it's more gymnastics. You have a lot of football players on the men's side.
Yeah.
Maybe some baseball, but
yeah,
you're kind of a unique land mammal.
Yes.
In that sense.
Exactly.
Have you thought about, you know, taking your talents back to the track? Maybe not to the track per se, but some of these obstacle races like Spartan races,
yeah,
stuff like that.
I did two Spartan races last year. The first one, I started off with the beast, the Breckenridge Beast. So
that's pretty big.
It was I'd done a little bit of trail running, but nothing 13 miles. I'd done like 4 and 5 mile trail runs, and that's about good for me. So I did the beast, and I did really well. I had a good time, but I wasn't in the elite heat. I didn't really know about it. I thought you had to qualify or be invited. And so I did more research into it, and I was like, oh, you just have to sign up for the elite division. That's all you have to do. I'll do it. So I talked to JD at Reebok, and they got me a spot in the Seattle Super Race.
Right.
And I finished third in the elite division.
No way. Third?
Yeah.
That's so good.
It was my first, like, official.
Because you could throw the spear.
Actually.
You missed it?
I missed it. I'm so ashamed of that. I'm sad that you brought that up. Both of the beast and the super, I missed the javelin, or not the javelin, the spear. It hit it, didn't stick. So that was the only penalty I got in the super, unfortunately.
That's very impressive, Michelle. Third place is legit. I ran one last year, a super. I ran a sprint and a super last year.
Yeah.
Same kind of deal. Signed up for the elite heat.
Yeah.
But the running was just... The course I was on, it was like you ran 4 miles before you hit like a real obstacle.
Oh, man.
So it was all just like running and walls. And I got so far behind all these pure runners.
Oh, yeah.
They were just gone.
Yeah.
Like, God dang. And then I must have passed 100 people in the middle section where
all this stuff was.
Like hoisting sandbags and carrying rocks and all the stuff that you do in a Spartan race.
Yeah.
But still, I only got up to, I think, 25th or 26th by the end. But,
I imagine the men's fields are more competitive. More people in the elite division.
It could be, but there was a woman who beat me.
Oh.
Like, she didn't beat me.
Per se.
But I started ahead of her, but her time beat me.
Oh, I gotcha.
She didn't make up the whole gap, but I think her time was faster than my time.
Yeah, so she never passed you, so you didn't know.
Right.
So you didn't get the chance to get competitive.
She passed a lot of people, but
that's
I was not
crazy.
One of them. Okay, that's cool. You're doing that. You're going to keep continuing to do that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. And so I was like, well, I did this.
It's a big challenge, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's just fun. It's like you've got these obstacles. It's kind of similar to like what you see at CrossFit Games. You don't know what's coming up. You don't know what the obstacles are going to be. You kind of have an idea of what it is. But it's like climbing things, and that's something I love to do. And then there's no swimming.
There's no swimming.
We waded across there was a lake, but it was like waist deep, so I walked that shit.
How good did the water feel?
It was so cold because it was in Breckenridge.
Yeah.
It was so cold. It was awful.
All right, so when's your next scheduled Spartan race?
I don't know. I need to look one up. The Breckenridge is running again. I believe I want to say July. I'm not sure. I need to check.
Are you going to do that one again?
I think so. I mean, it's right there, so I feel like it's easy. I don't have
so
to travel
long,
for it.
So long, though. 13 miles.
Yeah, and you run up the mountain twice.
Yeah, up and down.
You get some elevation gain in that one.
That distance. I mean, you'll be 15 pounds lighter by the end.
Yeah, most likely. Maybe I should try running.
But you got to just keep doing it until you successfully throw the spear.
Yeah, I need to practice. And the thing that there's a rope tied to the other end of it, so it's not the same.
No, it's true. It's awkward.
You'd think I would be able to do it,
both
though.
The ones I did, I missed.
Yeah.
The first one missed terribly.
Yeah.
Second one, I just was a little bit to the left. I caught the edge of it.
Yeah.
So at my gym in Sacramento, we are training a group of runners to do obstacle races, including the Spartan race. So we've made spears at our gym.
Like broomsticks?
No.
Because that's what they seem like.
They're like, they're kind of like broomsticks. But what we did was we had these aluminum pipes that were very thin. They're for flags.
Okay.
Like banners that you would have outside of like a festival or something, right? They're about the right length. So what we did is we put a big bolt with a washer on the end of it. So like going into the top of the pipe.
Yeah.
And then duct taped all around it. So that it's weighted on the end, like a spear tip.
That's right.
And then we just throw it at big gymnastics pads.
Oh, okay.
So walk off the distance.
Yeah.
There's no like chance of injury.
Yeah.
Except to the wall behind it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And it works. And they're all learning how to throw it. And
that's awesome.
We have them come in twice a week and we do teach them how to climb ropes. We do the spear throw. We do the tire flipping. And we're doing interval running in between, which is kind of what the
Spartan
race is, right? So. That's
fun.
Maybe you could do the same kind of thing.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great
idea. Especially out here. I'm sure there's tons of people that don't have access to tires and ropes and things they need to do. Like, those are the things that people are scared of in the Spartan races, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the monkey bars.
Yeah. People are just like staring out the rope, and I was like,
you're like, this is the easiest thing out here.
Pretty much. The balance things were tough. Like the little posts that you had to walk across. I failed that one in brick.
No way.
I was ashamed.
I remember the one. I don't know if they had this one there, but they had like a wall, like a Z wall, I think they called it.
Oh, I failed that one in brick. I got it in Seattle, but I failed it in brick.
Because it's like rock climbing, but it's like slippery 2x4s.
Yeah. Slippery.
That's tough.
That
I don't want to. I'm not going to rebuild that because that was like I made it through both times, but it was tough.
Yeah.
You really have to concentrate, not go too fast.
Exactly.
The other thing I don't like about those races is that they have judges there.
Yeah.
But they're just volunteers.
Yeah.
Nobody's really counting burpees.
Right.
Nobody's really like going all the way down. I'm looking around at these people.
I don't think that's a rule in Spartan. You don't have to go all the way to the ground with their burpees.
Oh.
So I was trying not to, but I couldn't. I just fall down. Like, this is how I do burpees.
Right. Well, what else is on your plate then coming up? I mean, you're going to do this thing again. Obviously, you're going to train for the CrossFit Games again, right?
Yeah, totally.
Because you just can't help it.
Yeah, I just have to. Yeah, so the Regionals is my first competition. The 2016 Regionals is my first competition since the 2015 Games.
Do you typically do a lot of competitions throughout the year?
No, but after 2013, I had a lot of opportunities. It was the first year of the Granite Games, and I got sent out there, and I really enjoyed it. And then just had a lot of more opportunities, and there's more money in it, and so more competition directors are reaching out to athletes. So I just was kind of like going. They were like, hey, you want to come? I'm like, yeah. And I would go. And 2014, I finished at Games with a hip injury, so I couldn't compete in the off season then. And then hurt my shoulder, so basically I just didn't have a chance to compete until the Open started. And then so my first like actual on-site competition was Regionals, and even though I pretty much got my butt whooped there, I loved every second of it. So I was like, I'm doing what I should be doing. This is like, because I wanted to compete this year, and it was like this feeling where am I holding on to something that I don't really want, don't really enjoy? And then out on the floor at Regionals, I'm like, yes, I love this. I absolutely love this. I got 14th. I still love this. Previous years, I probably would have been like, screw it, but it was really, really eye opening. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try again because I love it.
Do you think that the threat of losing it entirely kind of gave you a new appreciation kind of for what you have?
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, as I've competed, I've grown as an athlete and to understand and enjoy the moment, especially at competitions and like the cool people you get to meet. And I know I was really overly concerned about where I finished and making games and stuff, and that's still a big deal. But I've been there and it's been awesome, and yeah, I want to go back, but I realize how special it is just to be at Regionals and just to be involved in something like that. So yeah, there was a time where I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever compete again. And so that is a scary moment. And so it does help me to value kind of those times, because the way I reacted to what happened at regionals. You know, I had two really, really bad places, and I knew it was going to happen. When they announced the events, I was like, I haven't been able to snatch, and I have to do a snatch ladder. I just knew I'm just going to do the best I can, accept the outcome. So that mindset probably was very much helped by thinking that I wasn't going to be there again.
You mentioned having been there to the games. You want to go back.
Yeah.
You've been there four times. We've talked to athletes who have been there before, maybe missed years, made it back years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the constant rise in level of competition, the difficulty that there is getting to the games, sometimes it now feels like the regionals are the games, or the way the games used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it's really hard to get to regionals now. Yeah. Like, get through the open.
I was sweating it after week three.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm in 28th. I don't know how many spots I was at, but I was outside of the top 20. So I was like, oh, shit. It's hard.
What do you think of when you look at these other girls? Like, they're obviously more girls than ever are doing it, and the top-level girls, who all seem to be from Iceland,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, I don't have that going for me.
You know, where do you see the biggest improvements being made? Like, what's making it so much more competitive and difficult to get to the end?
From what I've seen, and then the changes since 2010 when I first started competing in CrossFit, is that these athletes are just well-rounded. Like, from top to bottom, they're really good at everything. So in the past, especially with me, like, my endurance is really good. Any long duration event, I'm gonna do really well at. Simple movements, I do really well. It's like the more technical stuff that I would struggle with, but I would still be okay. And so now you're not okay if you have those weaknesses, if you're not that strong, or if you're not that good at gymnastics, it's going to be exposed. So, like, in a situation where the strength event, like snatch at regionals this year, usually I like take a 15th to 20th place finish in something like that, and I took a 33rd or something. It's like, you not only get beat by the top, you get beat by everybody if you have a hole. So now there's just, these girls are just 100% well-rounded, especially when it comes to regional events. So those are pretty much just straight up CrossFit. So you've got your weightlifting and your gymnastics, and then they put you on a true form and call it running and the endurance event. But other than that, like, if you're good at gymnastics and weightlifting and have an engine, you're good to go. And those girls are, like, don't have holes in that regard.
Yeah, and the scoring system has changed to the game scoring system, which values winning workouts.
Yes.
Getting top five in workouts.
Yes.
So Ben and I talked a lot about this when regionals all wrapped up, and we looked at some really, like, fascinating numbers where there were athletes who took 33rd, like you said, in multiple events, but still qualified top five.
Yeah.
Because they won
a couple events. Yeah.
You know, and in the past, that really wasn't. You weren't able to do that.
No.
So, I think what you're saying about everybody being well-rounded is true, in the sense that these girls at the top, most of them aren't taking 33rd in anything.
No. Yeah.
But if they are,
they're kicking it.
They're, yeah, like Briggs,
yeah,
right? Sam's a great example.
Yeah.
Like, she gets smoked in the snatch event.
Yeah.
Pretty much every year. She's, yeah, taking 20th or higher.
Yeah.
But she damn near wins, like,
everything else. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so maybe she's an outlier.
She's certainly an outlier. I think she's like somebody that first of all, I look up to, and I think she's an awesome person, but an incredible athlete. But she's like,
you guys have similar backgrounds.
Exactly,
right?
And we have similar backgrounds, and we struggle with similar things, and I don't think that's any coincidence. So it's like, she shows me that it can be done. You can win the CrossFit Games not being the strongest athlete out there, but you have to have an engine, and her engine is just the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life, just how she keeps moving. So she makes up for it, and that's kind of how she, like, provides inspiration to me, in that, oh, you don't have to be the strongest athlete, because no matter what I do, I could lift all the time, and I would never be strong enough to consider myself like to be a top five finisher in a strength event. I just know that's me. And she just works really hard at strength, but also crushes her strengths as well. So,
do you think that you could work on strength enough to be a top 20 finisher in a strength event? Is that possible?
I think it is. Honestly, 2014 regionals, the hang snatch, I finished sixth.
Right, but that was 2014.
Hey. You call me old?
No, I'm just saying, like,
it's different now. Yeah.
Look how strong everybody is.
Honestly, no. I mean, maybe top 20, yes. Top 10, no. Like, I know I'm going to take a hit in that event. And so, yeah, that's the struggle is I'm going to work my butt off to get a top 20 in this certain event. And it's going to be at the expense of some other things, right?
Right.
It's
like, so, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Or is it more worth it maybe to just train the hell out of your engine and trying to be like first or second in those other workouts?
Exactly. So, and it's always that give and take. And that's what CrossFit is. It's like, what do you work on? What do you spend your time on? And then, I don't know. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't think anymore there's no top 10 finishes in the strength event out there for me unless it's some high rep deadlift thing. A deadlift ladder. I don't know. That ends at a certain weight that I can't pull.
We spoke to Dave Castro a few weeks ago, and he hinted at the idea that the regional format is going to change again.
Oh, wow.
In the near future.
Mm-hmm.
So it shrunk from, 18 regions to 8, from 5 weekends to 3.
Yeah.
In an effort to kind of consolidate some of these weaker regions, right? And to try to really, truly get the...
Yeah, and even the last heats of even tough regions weren't a factor in terms of, like, games qualifications and stuff, so...
Right.
Yeah.
We'll what do you think...
Trim it up a bit.
Yeah. What do you think could be done at the regional level? Like, if it's still kind of changing, it's still kind of evolving into this, more perfect qualification process.
Yeah.
Like, what do you see as an athlete who's been there, for the last 6-7 years, are areas that it could improve?
I love that question. The reason why I love CrossFit Games so much is because a lot of the events are outside of what you do in a gym. So, like, the sprint carry or the burden run, as awful as the burden run was, or, like, just some of this, like, the random things, sandbag event. Like, you get to do fun things that test your ability to adapt and still move weight across distances and doing all that, but really pushing the envelope of, like, the longer duration endurance events. So we still haven't seen, in my opinion, running in a regional in a long time. I know that True Form was there, but you get on that thing for 400 meters, you're not really testing a person's ability to, like, move their body across space. So what I would like to see out of regionals, or I think a way they could improve, is a more games-like setting where you're doing odd things, odd objects, running along. You're doing super long events. I don't know if that's even possible in the regional setting. I do remember hearing Dave Castro say that he couldn't put running in a regional event because you couldn't assume that it'd be the same distance across regions and stuff like that. And how do you, like, normalize that? So I just think it would be, or I think that's the one way they could improve, is to have less of an emphasis on your traditional CrossFit workouts, because that's pretty much all regionals is just straight up CrossFit. So you filter out the best CrossFitters versus maybe more or less the fittest in the pack. So these people can move barbells and can do gymnastics really well, but can they run? Can they swim? Can they bike? Can they do these random things that get tested at the next level? And that's, so.
Yeah. Well, that would definitely make the events more interesting.
Yeah.
There's more variety there.
Yeah.
What I gathered from Dave is the biggest challenge is logistics. They have this, this regional floor that's the same size everywhere, and they're limited by the constraints of that for, like, the number of heats. So to do a big long workout,
right,
you know, at the games, you just throw everybody into the pack.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, we got a heat of 50, and you're all doing it at the same time. It's palatable for the fans to watch as opposed to, like, you know, three or four heats of that really long workout.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, I would love to see them try.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's say, hey, for this event, you know, maybe we host everything at a track.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe we have the run measured out. You have everybody going around the arena, you know,
right.
And like you leave the sight of the fans in there, but you come back in.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to try. I think it would be worth it.
Yeah.
I agree. It is really a hole in the program to not have, you know, a true endurance event until you get to the games.
Right. And so,
and we say true endurance in the sense that, yeah, you can probably predict based on a 20-minute workout who is going to do well and continue to do well.
Sure.
But it'd still be nice to see it.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know?
Yeah, and I get the logistical challenges with that. And I remember in 2010, people were like, is there going to be swimming at the CrossFit Games? And I was like, oh, God, I hope not. There's no way. It's a tennis stadium. There's not a pool.
Right.
And then I was, like, Googling where the closest pool was. I'm like, and then realized there was one, like, right there. I'm like, but there's no stands, so how are they going to do that? Like, I was finding every reason why they wouldn't have swimming in it, and, like, all logistical reasons. And so, oh, is there going to be an open water swim? No, that's not where – it's not on site. But they – at games level, they figured out. They've taken people to Camp Pendleton. They've taken people off site, and I realized – at one time that wasn't logistically going to happen, and then they figured it out. So I feel like maybe they can figure it out. I don't know that they can have each region mimic everything to a T, but I feel like that's not super important because all you're competing against is the people in your region. So if, as long as you have the same task, then I think that's, but yeah, it'll be super, super cool to see that, but you're probably right. I mean, you have a long duration, like, 20-minute workout is probably going to predict or show you who's going to win an endurance event. Probably.
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 yeah, but like I said, it'd be fun to see it. I mean, I think you're a little biased in that regard.
Of course.
I'm a little biased in that regard. Yeah. Those are events that we do better at typically.
Yeah.
So obviously we'd be more excited to see those things than say some of the other athletes like Ben, you know, who's not here, but he would hate to see that.
It's like, Yeah.
He's like, regionals is long enough.
Yeah, totally. So, and I get it. It's like, you know, I still love it in that regard. I still love going to regionals and doing the best that I can. But regionals is the Super Bowl for me. You know, like, that's when I have to come to play. I always considered the games as my, like, victory lap. Like,
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And I end up doing really well because there's a lot of just, like, weird shit that I'm, like, generally athletic, so I adapt. I'm, like, and when they had the softball toss, I thought I was going to die, pass out and die. I was, like, no way. We're throwing a softball?
Did you win that event?
I did.
That's awesome.
I threw it almost 200 feet.
I love that event
as well. That was a great event. Yeah. But it was a very eye-opening event watching not only the women, but some men throw a ball. I was just, like, growing up playing baseball and softball my entire life, like, I just – I've never seen quite people struggle with throwing technique so much.
Yeah, it wasn't the best look. It's probably why it hasn't come back.
Yeah, unfortunately so. That was probably one of my favorite games events.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great the way they formatted that they got, you know, you got half.
Yeah.
It was half event value.
Yeah.
Things like that, the other skills tests.
Random skills, yeah.
The handstand walking and everything.
See, I wasn't good at that, so it was a good thing it was balanced with something else that I could do. So that's how it goes.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have.
All right.
Thank you for taking the time to sit down with us. And
I enjoyed it.
Show us a little bit of your new world here.
Yeah.
For all of our listeners who aren't following you yet and seeing you climb to the top of mountains and do amazing
golf
rehab things and play golf. Tell them where they can find you online.
All right. My Instagram handle is Michelle_Kinney. And that's also my Twitter handle. So look for me there and CrossFit Park Hill in Denver. If you're ever in town, love to have you.
And you guys can follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram and BTB Podcast.com. Also look for Michelle on the upcoming Anywhere Fit Alaska trip.
Woo, I can't wait.
She is traveling north with me and 30 of our closest friends.
Yeah, more mountains.
More mountains, big mountains.
Big mountains.
Like real big mountains.
Sweet.
And we're going to get into all sorts of fun stuff up there. And yeah, so thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.